me to 2 Kings chapter number 2, please. 2 Kings chapter number 2, we're going to continue our series on thriving in the midst of chaos. I want to read, starting with verse number 1 of chapter number 2, our verses that I'm going to preach on tonight will be verse number 11 down through verse number 14. But I kind of want to read these verses because it kind of sets the context of those passages. Verse number 1 of 2 Kings chapter number 2, the Bible says, "And it came to pass, when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. And Elijah said unto Elisha, Tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Bethel. And Elisha said unto him, As the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel. And the sons of the prophets that were at Bethel came forth to Elisha and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he said, Yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. And Elijah said unto him, Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Jericho. And he said, As the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they came to Jericho. And the sons of the prophets that were at Jericho came to Elisha and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he answered, Yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. And Elijah said unto him, Tarry, I pray thee here, for the Lord has sent me to Jordan. And he said, As the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And they too went on. And 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood to view afar off, and they too stood by Jordan. And Elijah took his mantle, he wrapped it together, and smote the waters, and they were divided hither and thither, so that they too went over on dry ground. And it came to pass, when they were gone over, that Elijah said unto Elisha, Ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And he said, Thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee, but if not, it shall not be so. And it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, that, behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it, and he cried, my father, the chariots of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more, and he took hold of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces. And he took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters and said, Where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he had also smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elijah went over. Blake, I need you to help me in a minute, so I want you to come up here and sit on the front row. I don't want you to be over there by yourself, you know. I'm going to need a good-looking man to help me look good here in a few moments. And so come on, sit right here in the middle now, okay? Unless you want to go over and sit by the preacher. Keep him in line. Okay. I've just entitled my message tonight, Grieve Over the Event and Then Move On. If you'll listen to me tonight and I can get across what the Lord has laid upon my heart, it can really be a big help to you when you go through difficulties and chaos and troubles in your life. Over the last few months, I've been referencing Ecclesiastes chapter number 3. In that passage of Scripture, Solomon is writing, and he tells us this. He says, to everything there is a season and a time for every purpose under heaven. He would go on and say that there is a time to be born, and there is a time to what? There is a time to plant, and there is a time to pluck up that which is planted. There's a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up. And then he would say this, there's a time to weep and a time to laugh. There's a time to mourn and a time to dance. I want you to say that with me. There is a time to weep and there is a time to laugh. There is a time to mourn and there is a time to dance. Solomon is saying, hey, everything's got a season. Everything's got a place. Everything has a time. There may be a time of weeping, but after that time of weeping, there's going to come a time of laughter, and there's going to come a time of dancing. This week has been kind of a small grieving time for me. Because there was somebody in my life that I really looked up to. He was, I don't throw out the word hero very often, but he was almost like a hero to me. His name was Wade Turner. He was my little league baseball coach. And I just remember him coaching. He was a big old guy. He was about 6'5". He probably weighed about 280 or 290, and there wasn't a whole lot of fat. He was a real muscular guy. He was a deputy sheriff there in Coleman for many years. And when I got into my 20s and I was working at the service station, on his days off, which was Wednesdays, he would come and work at that service station to make a little extra money. And so I looked forward to every Wednesday because, you know, you're going to hear all those cop stories and everything else. My favorite story is that, you remember, he's a big old guy. And he was telling us one day, he says, you know what, when you go into these bars and these clubs, and he says, you know what, when you have to arrest some of these guys, it's always the little guys. They want to fight. He says, I don't know why it is, but every time you get ready to arrest one of these guys and they're drunk and everything else, I mean, they want to get after it. And he said he was arresting somebody a couple of weeks ago, and that little guy bowled up to him and said, don't you know dynamite comes in small packages? He said, I took him and threw him up against the wall, and I said, we'll explode then. But I just kind of look forward to listening to those stories every Wednesday. And then he would I would go into Baptist Bible College in Springfield. He would go on to become the sheriff of Coleman County. And he was the sheriff for a number of years. But he was one of those guys. I mean, he was as bold and courageous as a lion. But yet he was gentle and he was kind. He was this big mammoth man. But if you would just meet him, you would think, man, what a wonderful man. What a wonderful guy he is. And I always looked up to him. But you know, God blesses us every once in a while, doesn't he? I hadn't talked to Wade in a number of years, and a couple of months ago when my last aunt died in Coleman, I went back to the funeral, and he was at that funeral, and I got just a few moments to spend and to visit with him and just kind of reminisce about some of the old things. You know what I consider that? I consider that a blessing from God. You know what? If we would just look for those little things, God blesses us and God helps us along the ways. And when I was talking to him, I he wasn't really sick at that time. I didn't know it would be the last time that he and I would communicate. And then when I read the obituary this week that he had died, I thought about how God's blessings and how God is good. He got to let me visit with one of my heroes right before he died. But you know what? All of us in life are going to lose people. All of us in life are going to have catastrophic events that happens in our life. Some of us might lose a husband or a wife. Some of us might have gone through divorces in our life or relationship problems. Some people might get older in their age and they may lose their job and they may not be able to find another job. It's a time of chaos. It is a time of difficulty. Some of us may go to the doctors, and when we get to the doctor, they run all these kinds of tests, and we're having difficulties, and they might come in and say, you know what, you've got cancer, or you've got this, or you've got that, and your life totally changes. It's a difficult time. It is a chaotic time. Maybe you're going through financial difficulties and financial struggles. Maybe something has happened in your life, and you wasn't prepared for it. You wasn't ready for it. You didn't ask for it. It just came into your life, and it has left you in chaos, and you don't know what to do about it. On Saturday or Friday when I was mowing the yard, I was listening to one of my favorite podcasts. And as I was listening, this lady called in, and she began to tell her story. And here's her story. For the last 20 years, they were financially responsible. They had saved money. They were totally out of debt. They owed no money to anything. And then where they lived, there was a storm that came through, and it wiped out their home, and it wiped out their family. They no longer could live in their house. It was uninhabitable, and so they had to go live in a motel. Their insurance company was not helping them. Their insurance company was not paying their bills and reimbursing them. And so they ended up spending 2.5 years in a motel room, paying it out of their pocket. When they did that, of course, they'd have to eat out every meal and those two type of things. And in the midst of all of that, their daughter, who was going to medical school, had a heart condition and had to have open heart surgery. They were having to travel across the country to go to the Mayo Clinic for her heart surgery. And so when they would get to the Mayo Clinic, they would have to stay in motel rooms and they would have to eat out. And you that have stayed around the hospital, you know that it can become very expensive. And so they had gone through everything that they had, and they were just living on the brink of disaster. And she was calling into this podcast and just asking, hey, what can we do? How can you help us? When they gave her their ultimate response, I thought, you know what? God wants me to preach this. Because here's what they ended up telling her. Why did you stay 2.5 years in a motel? And they began to talk about this. Is that many times when chaos comes into our life, and troubles and difficulties come into our life, it gives us permission to make bad choices and wrong choices. Sometimes what we have to do is grieve about what has taken place. A time to weep. A time to mourn. There's nothing wrong with that. When you lose somebody and you go through traumatic events in your life, you know what? You need to take time to grieve. You need to take time to mourn. But you know what? You can't stay there. You have to move on. That's what this text is teaching us tonight, I believe. Because remember when we talked about last week? Elisha had followed Elijah for the last 6 years. He was his mentor. He was his everything. Elisha was teaching him how to love God. Elisha was teaching him how to be a prophet. Elijah was teaching him how to walk God. And for the last 6 years, Elijah was everything to Elisha. But now we get to the time where God is going to call Elijah home, and it's just going to be Elisha. And so you come to verse number 11, and the Bible says, and it came to pass as they still went on and they talked that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and a horses of fire, and it parted them both asunder. Now come here, Blake. Because I'm telling you what, when you start reading the Word of God for what it is, it'll get you excited, amen? So here is Elisha, because Elisha was younger. He was good looking. I'm Elijah, hairy and got a Lowen's girdle, you know, and kind of crusty and rough, you know. That fits my personality. And so read the text, the scripture there. The Bible says they're just walking along. They're just enjoying the stroll. Hey, man, did you watch North Carolina play basketball last year? No. Woo, what? I mean, they're just having a good time. And then what happened? What does the Bible say? All of a sudden, there is a chariot of fire and a chariot of horse that's on fire. And it parts them asunder. Now, I'm going to tell you what, that's catastrophic, isn't it? Now, you can sit down. I didn't need you very long, but I need you for a little while. Because I'm telling you what, I've never seen a chariot of fire and a horse of fire. Have you ever seen that? Hey, it didn't even have to be on fire. All it has to be is a chariot or a horse, and it gets that close to me. I'm telling you, it messes me up. I'm scared of horses, I guess. I don't want no big. How much does a horse weigh? 1,200 pounds. I only weigh 110 pounds, amen? But get this. I mean, they're just strolling down the road, and all of a sudden, these angelic beings, these heavenly beings, these powerful beings, these excited beings, they come in between them, and they part them asunder. And then the Bible says there's a whirlwind that comes. The only thing that I can relate that whirlwind to is to a tornado, because if you look it up, it means a storm. It means a very big wind, an exceeding wind. And so they're parted asunder. And then all of a sudden, here comes this tornado, and it picks up Elijah, and it carries Elijah all the way into the heavens. I'd be shook. Wouldn't you be shook? And Elisha says this. My father, the chariot of Israel. You see, when you study this passage of Scripture, you realize that Elisha looked at Elijah as a father. It's really tied into that part where he wants a double portion of blessing because he wanted to be the spiritual child of Elijah. He's lost his mentor. He has lost someone that is he looked up to as a father. He lost someone very special in his life. He knew that it was coming, but he wasn't perhaps ready for it. Some of you that have lost parents or husbands, you know that. I knew my mother was very close to the death. And matter of fact, when we carried her back to Coleman, I knew it was probably just maybe a few weeks or a few months. And it turned out to be less than 24 hours. And even though I knew in my heart that she was going to go to heaven and that the Lord was going to come and take her, I knew it in my heart. But I'm telling you, when I got that call in my office on a Tuesday morning at 9 o'clock, I'm just telling you, I wasn't ready for it. I knew that my dad was going to die. They told me that he's declining and that he wouldn't last long. And I knew it was just a matter of hours. But I want you to know that on a Thursday morning when I got that phone call, I wasn't ready for it, even though I knew it. And Elijah knew that Elisha was going to be taken up and he was going to be now the prophet. But he just wasn't ready for it. And it happened all of a sudden. It happened immediately. My father, that word chariot of Israel means that he was a powerful leader in the nation of Israel. It would be like the death of Billy Graham in our days. And then notice what the text says, that he took his clothes and he rent them. That was a sign of extreme sorrow. You only see it four times in all of the Word of God. When Reuben went to check on Joseph after his brothers had thrown Joseph into the pit to kill him. Reuben went to check on Joseph and Joseph wasn't there. And the Bible says that Reuben rent his clothes because he was in exceeding sorrow. The Bible tells us that when Amnon came in and raped his sister Tamar, that when Tamar left, that she rent her garments, she rent her clothes as a sign of great sorrow and great grief. In Job chapter number 1, when Job loses everything that he has, the Bible says that he rents his clothes, he rents his garments. Why? Because he is in exceeding sorrow and he is in exceeding grief. And in Job chapter number 2, in the last part of that verse, or in the last part of that chapter, the Bible says that when Job's friends came and they heard the story of Job, the Bible says that they too rent their clothes. It was a sorrow of grief and sorrow. Solomon said there's a time to mourn. And there's a time to weep. I'm telling you what, when your life gets turned upside down and you lose somebody that you love with everything that you have, and somebody comes along and says, well, you just need to get over it, or whatever they say sometimes. I'm telling you what, sometimes people say the dumbest things. I'm telling you, there's time to weep. There's time to grieve. There's times to let the tears roll down your cheeks. And I'm telling you, men, you know what? You need to learn how to cry too. Well, I'm a big old tough man. Men, real men, don't cry. You let God break your heart, I guarantee you one thing, you'll cry. Amen. Elijah, my father, the chariot of Israel. He rent his clothes. You read the next verse. And the Bible says that when Elijah was carried up, that the mantle, and remember it was his preaching garment, fell off. And Elisha went over and he reached down and he picked up that mantle. And he started to the Jordan River. But I want you to notice something about the earlier verses. If you look at the track that Elijah took Elisha to get to the Jordan River, it's almost the same track that God took the children of Israel when they crossed the Jordan. Remember when the children of Israel were at the Jordan River and the Jordan River was split and they went over? What was the first city they went to? Jericho. And then they went to Bethel. The interesting thing is when Elisha is about to be taken up, he goes to Bethel, he goes to Jericho, he goes to the Jordan River. They split the Jordan River and they go across, and now they're on the east side of the Jordan River. They're not in Israel anymore. I don't know what the extreme significance is of this, but I think it goes this way, that God's taking me out of the land of promise. And Elisha is going to have to make his mind up that he's going to follow God and cross the Jordan River and do what God's called him to do. Elisha is going to have to say, you know what? I've grieved. Now, I don't know how much time he grieved. When you read the text, it seems like that it all happened boom, boom, boom. But there's a lot of passages in the scripture. You read it and you think the events happened. But when you start studying, there's sometimes days, months, maybe even years. I don't think that Elisha grieved for years. And I don't even think he grieved for months. But there was a time that he grieved. But then there was a time that he picked up the mantle. And he wanted to know if God was going to be for him. So he takes this mantle, he walks over to the Jordan River. You can read it in the text. And he takes that Jordan, or he takes that mantle, and he hits the river, and he says, "Where is the Lord thy God?" And what happened? The Jordan split. And the dry and the ground was dry. And Elisha walked over. And what are the last few words, or what are the last words in that text? The Bible says that he went on. He went forward. He crossed the Jordan River, and he went about doing what God had called him to do way back in 1 Kings chapter number 19. You know what the hardest thing to do when your life has been turned upside down is to go forward. If you say, "Oh, I don't agree with that, Brother David," you hadn't had your life turned upside down. Because I'm telling you what, when your life gets turned upside down, or you lose somebody that meant everything in the world to you, it's hard to stop mourning and go forward. I've told you my story, so I'm not telling you it again. But you know, at 40 years of age, my life went from the absolute pinnacle to the deepest, darkest valley. I cried tears until I couldn't, till I had no more tears. I wanted to go into my, I've never been one that's been a depressed kind of person. I've never dealt with those issues. But I'm telling you, I didn't care if I lived or if I died. For a solid year, all I did was I went to bed. I slept until it was time to get up to go to work. I went to work, I came home, and I went to bed. And I slept until it was time to go to work. Had no idea how in the world that I could even go forward. I didn't have any skills. All I did was work all my life. I didn't know what else to do. And I'm going to tell you what, I didn't grieve a year or 2 years or 3 years. It was almost 5 years of grieving. But there came a day when God said, "You know what? It's time to go forward and to do what I've called you to do." Here's the biggest thing that we struggle with when life gets turned upside down. We want life to stay the same. But you know what? When your life gets turned upside down, your life will never be the same again. And that's what we struggle with. When life happens to us, we do everything that we can to keep the sameness. But if we will just understand, hey, what we had, it's over with. God's got a new plan. God's got a new course. And I've got to go forward and follow what God wants me to do. You see, that's what Elisha did. God took him to the other side of the Jordan River, and it would have been real easy for him that when Elisha was carried up, it would have been real easy for him to go the other direction. But he took time to grieve. He took time to mourn. And when that was over, he said, you know what? I'm going to go forward. There are folks here tonight that, you know what? You're in the grieving process. It may be a loss of a job. It may be the loss of a loved one. It may be the loss of a relationship. It may be the loss of a career. It may be health issues. I don't know what it is, but I know that there are folks here today that life is chaotic because you're going through some things that's difficult. Can I tell you, take time to grieve that. But don't stay there forever, because at some point you got to do what Elisha says. I've got to go forward. Go forward. And you know what you'll find when you go forward? Even though you think you can never be happy and have joy again, God will start blessing you. And God will start using you in ways that you never dreamed of. I'll give you this and then I'm done. Until I went through a divorce, can I tell you, I was hard on divorced people. I would stand and I would preach on it, and if you were divorced, I'd make you feel this tall sometimes. And then guess what? Life happened to me. God broke my heart. And you know what now? I can take that chaotic time in my life. I can go forward and I can understand and I can sympathize with those that's going through it. Paul would say this: take what God has allowed you to go through and use it. Go forward and use it to help others going through the same thing. You want to know how to thrive in chaos? When it comes, weep, mourn. But when that time is over with, go forward. Lord, we love you tonight. And God, we're grateful and we're thankful for your word. We're grateful for this passage. Lord, I relate to it so well in my life. Because there was a time in my life when I didn't want to go forward. If anything, I wanted to go back. And I didn't have joy and I didn't have happiness. I was broken. But God, you never left. You was always there for me to encourage and to bring people into my life to encourage me. And God, my prayer tonight, if there are those that are here tonight and life has become chaotic, and maybe there's events that has happened that was unforeseen, God, I pray tonight that you would help them through this grieving process. But God, when they get to the other side, I pray that you would help them to go forward. And God, I pray that you'd use them in a mighty way. God, I pray that you'd move in our invitation tonight. I pray that you'd have your will in your way. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Would you stand with us, please? With heads bowed and eyes closed, Martha and Linda are going to play through a verse of invitation. If God's spoken to you tonight, won't you come?